Radio for Catholic and other Christians. This is 990 WDEO, Ypsilanti, Detroit, or on the internet at WDEO.net.
Stand by all stations. Open line rolls in 3, 2, 1.
From the studios of EWTN, this is Open Line with today's host, Barbara McWiggin.
Welcome to Open Line. What's your question?
In North America, call toll-free 1-800-585-9396. That's 1-800-585-9396. Outside North America, call 1-205-271-2985. You can also send an email to openline@ewtn.com. Now, here's your host, Barbara McWiggin.
He is risen. Happy Easter to you. Welcome to EWTN's Open Line Tuesday edition. I'm Barbara McWiggin, alive and grateful to be your host every Tuesday. What a blessing it is to be together with all of you, especially for another hour these days. One thing we know for certain, we never walk the royal road of the cross alone. Here are the numbers to call. In North America, it's 1-800-585-9396. Outside North America, 1-205-271-2985. And our email address is always openline@ewtn.com. I hope your heart was bursting with joy this Easter Sunday. You know, there is no joy like the joy of the church on Easter. I hope that you all were able to immerse yourself in this great event. We are one with the Blessed Mother, who experienced first in the wee hours of Easter morning the joy of seeing her son alive. Imagine that. Her joy goes beyond that of holding her son on Christmas morning. It goes beyond even the natural joy of having a dead son come back to life. For Christ not only rose from the dead, he has ascended into the glorious life of heaven, body and soul. And one day, so will we. The resurrection restores life and the presence of God. The cross of shame becomes the throne of glory. He who was slain now lives forever. In him all death has died. But the resurrection of Christ must be a truth that changes us too. Even though we still live our natural life, we possess that new and glorious life of his. We are, in some sense, already in heaven, believe it or not, especially through the sacred liturgy, hidden with Christ in God. At the end of his homily this Easter Sunday, our holy pastor shouted out, "He is risen! Now we have hope!" My brothers and sisters, we must show this on our faces. The resurrection is all about restoration. Jesus came not only to redeem us, but to transform us, to restore us to our dignity as children of God. So let us witness to this truth. How often have I heard people say, "Oh, Barbara McWiggin, why do you waste your time teaching virtue, especially chastity and modesty, to teenagers? Don't you know they're going to do it anyway?" Or, "That kid's a lost cause, it's in his genes," or, "There's no hope for her, her life's a mess." People who say these things to me are believing in a dead Jesus. He is risen to restore us so that we can continue to carry out our mission. When the culture of death seems more powerful than the culture of life, we need to pray for a clear vision of the resurrection and find our true selves in his kingdom of life. Yes, our true selves. Because we live in a very hedonistic, narcissistic, materialistic culture. People always seem to be clamoring to find themselves in cultures like this. Remember that song, "I Want to Be Me, Just Gotta Be Me"? Well, the problem is, as I see it anyway, these same souls pacing pensively up and down the self-help aisles in the bookstores might be lost forever until they recognize Jesus, the great I Am, that will never know who they really are until they recognize him. Why? Because Jesus is our true self. It's not what we can do, but what he can do through us. So we must always strive to be true in heart, sound in mind, pure in body, and flawlessly honest. Transparent, that is, authentic. We must pray. And I don't just mean a few whisperings on our pillows at night, but a concerted, honest effort to get to Holy Mass every day if possible. And if you can't, at least pray along with the Mass on EWTN if you are unable to go. Make a concerted effort to say at least one rosary each day. And read a little of Scripture too, because as St. Jerome wrote 1600 years ago, ignorance of Scripture is ignorance of the mind of Christ. And of course, Eucharistic adoration as often as possible is necessary in order to, first of all, give our great God the glory and praise he deserves, and to beg him to infuse us with his wisdom and grace. The days ahead will be filled with raw evil. I'm afraid we've only witnessed the tip of the iceberg. Many human beings worldwide have bought the lies of those who have no faith in our risen Lord, and they surround us on all sides, in our government, in the medical profession, in our courts, and even in our churches. When darkness envelops the land, minds, hearts, and bodies become steeped in all the capital sins. Sins committed in secrecy and darkness, wrapped in euphemism and deception. Truth always becomes the first casualty. People water it down, they stop talking about it, or they deny it altogether. Prostituted, disordered acts are mistaken for love because only fools do not want to know the one true God and therefore cannot know real love. Human life is never sacred when God is not known, honored, and adored. Animal life and the environment become gods, and the greatest God of all becomes the self. How long will the sin of pride reign supreme? How long does man stay in a perpetual state of deep-seated ignorance and confusion? How long will human life, made in the imago Dei, be defiled, discriminated against, mutilated, and murdered? How long will God, the creator of us all, be mocked? Well, only God knows what the future holds. But one thing we can be sure of, my brothers and sisters, is that almost 2,000 years ago, the darkest day in human history occurred. The vilest, most heinous crime ever was committed by those who would have called themselves spiritual. Jesus Christ was brutally scourged, crowned with thorns, nailed to a cross, and murdered by, quote, spiritual people, Gentiles and Jews alike. What these spiritual people were not able to see in all the darkness was God. They could not recognize God because they could not recognize love. Pathetically misguided, they did not know that God, who is love, is stronger than death. Only the spotless Lamb, the great I Am, could turn a rugged cross into a glorious throne. Only the King of the universe could penetrate the depth of the world's sin, the depth of the world's weariness, the depth of the world's faithlessness, the depth of the world's passing fancies and illusions, by the power of his mighty love. Evil will never triumph. Not 2,000 years ago, and not in 2010. In the tender compassion of our God, says the Canticle of Zechariah, the dawn from on high shall break upon us to shine on those who dwell in darkness and the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace. Jesus is risen. He is truly risen. I look forward to taking your calls. Here are the numbers, 1-800-585-9396 and 1-205-271-2985. What about that Duke Butler game last night? Whew, my goodness. Everybody in my house wanted Butler to win. Okay. We'll be right back. You are listening to EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Barbara McGuigan. This is Open Line Tuesday, taking your calls. Stay with me.
Mother Angelica, her prayers sustained her through hardship and inspired her to bring hope to millions. Now, you can pray as Mother prays and share in her personal spiritual practices with a treasury of devotions and meditations compiled for you by EWTN's Raymond Arroyo. The Prayers and Personal Devotions of Mother Angelica is available now from EWTN Religious Catalog and contains Mother's handwritten practical prayers for daily living, a never-before-seen prayer diary from a period of personal trial, inspiring Stations of the Cross devotions composed for her community, and prayers and petitions from her early religious life. But this book is so much more than a collection of prayers. This special volume is a spiritual portrait of one of the world's great women of faith. The Prayers and Personal Devotions of Mother Angelica. Get your copy today from EWTNReligiousCatalog.com or by calling 1-800-854-6316. The blood and water that poured forth from the pierced side of our Lord as he hung on the cross bathes us in his divine mercy. Celebrate Divine Mercy Sunday as EWTN takes you to the National Shrine of the Divine Mercy in Stockbridge, Massachusetts. We begin with the Divine Mercy Preview Show, followed by the solemn mass and celebration of Divine Mercy. Then, join us live from the Shrine of the Most Blessed Sacrament for the Divine Mercy Holy Hour. Special programming throughout the day will instruct and inspire you about the promises that Christ revealed to the world through St. Faustina. That's Divine Mercy Sunday, here on the Global Catholic Network, EWTN.
Podcasts of Open Line are available within 24 hours of live broadcast. Go to EWTN.com and click on Multimedia.
This is Open Line on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. If you have a question or comment, call 1-800-585-9396. Outside North America, call 1-205-271-2985. Or send an email to openline@ewtn.com. Here again is Barbara McGuigan.
Welcome back to Open Line. Let me give you those numbers again. In North America, call 1-800-585-9396. And if you live outside North America, you can always call 1-205-271-2985. Let's go to Susan. She's calling from Omaha, Nebraska, listening on 102.7 FM. You're on Open Line, Susan. Welcome to the show.
Hello, Barbara.
Hi.
Thank you so much for your beautiful words at the beginning of the show, and thank you for all that you do, and I'm so happy to be speaking with you.
Well, right back at you. You're welcome. You're welcome. And we know, where does all the glory go?
Well, we all know, to God.
Exactly. Amen to that. All right. What can I do for you?
Well, I do hope you can help me. I have in front of me my son, who's in eighth grade, and he does go to a Catholic school, brought home in his papers an inspiration that they were told to meditate on, I suppose, and it really has me concerned, and I'm wondering if you can give me your opinion and tell me if you think it's in line with our Catholic faith.
Okay.
Can I read that to you?
Sure.
Okay. It says, in the last analysis, we must be judged by what we do and not by what we believe. We are as we behave, with a very small margin of credit for our unmanifested vision of how we might behave if we could take the trouble. And the man who wrote this, his name is Jeffrey L. Rudd.
Never heard of him.
Okay. I've done a little bit of research on my own on the Internet.
And where's he from? I mean, that just sounds nuts to me.
Yes, it does.
I mean, they're trying to make a point, but they're saying to act in an opposite way of how you believe, or that's the way it's going to be.
Right.
And that's totally wrong.
Okay.
You act because you do believe.
Correct.
It's just kind of an oxymoron. It doesn't make sense.
And doesn't it all, with our Catholic faith, come with the creed first and what we believe, and then our acts come from that?
Of course, of course. Okay. I mean, faith is really, it says in our Magnificat prayer book, I wish I had it here, faith is in the mind.
Yes,
okay,
yes.
You believe in the mind, and then because of how you believe, I guess first it's in the heart, but you want your heart to follow. First you study, you get all the knowledge that you need, and then your heart will follow. I mean, maybe that's what they were trying to say in that, but my goodness, there's so many great quotes for confirmation.
Thank you. That's what I said to the principal. I said,
"Oh, what happened?"
Oh, Barbara, it's not good.
Really?
It's not good. I'm pretty frustrated and disappointed. And but wouldn't you also say that faith is a decision? Is that correct? Am I correct in that?
Well, faith is sure. It's a decision. It's a decision to leap. It really is a decision in a sense, but it's a commitment too. I mean, it can be so many things. It's believing without seeing. I mean, that's really the word that faith means. You're taking something on faith, and there's always an element of doubt, or there wouldn't be faith.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're believing without seeing. So there's nothing wrong with having doubts, but you believe anyway. I would like to get the interpretation of this. I think probably, you know, the interpretation is something whomever will be interpreting this, the teacher, or are the kids supposed to put their own interpretation to it?
I'm not sure exactly. It was presented, believe it or not, in the form of a word find.
In the form of a word find.
It's really quite odd. It does look like something that she might have printed off the internet or copied out of a book. But it's just some of the things that I have looked up about this man and some of the things he espoused.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I would use the word dangerous as far as our Christian Catholic faith goes.
Well, then I would expose that because, you know, to give her the benefit of the doubt, the teacher or he, whomever, maybe she didn't know any better. And maybe she just was reading some sort of something on the internet and said, oh, that sounds good.
Right.
But she didn't really give it any deep thought. So that could be the problem as well. You know, it's hard. We all have so much to do all the time. And sometimes we shoot from the hip. But that's not good when you're working with children.
Exactly.
And especially young adults. So you took some heat from the principal then, huh?
Yes.
And what did she tell you? You're the only one that ever complains. Is that what she said?
Oh, well, it's a he.
Oh, it's a he. Okay.
That's about all I should probably say.
Sure, I understand. Okay. Well, you know what? You just offered up. You're in good company. But the main thing is you sit down with is it your son?
Yes.
You sit down with him and explain it to him.
Absolutely.
And I'm sure you probably already have done that. It is frustrating. It is so frustrating. And is this the first time that anything has ever come up, if you know, any red flags for you?
Oh, no, it's not.
Okay. Well, see, so then you know what you're in then. You know what you're involved in. So is it through the CCD, the confirmation class, or is it in the school?
In the school.
Oh, grammar school?
At a Catholic school.
Oh, high school. It would have to be high school.
Eighth grade. He's in eighth grade.
Oh, I see, and he'll be confirmed. Yes, so is my grandson going to be confirmed in eighth grade, too.
Yeah, a couple weeks here, so.
Yeah, well, just, you know what, he's getting out of there, so that's good. You just make sure, you know, my son, and they were all in Catholic school all the way through college and even master's degrees, they were in Catholic school. And sometimes it was just so disheartening as to what they would come home with of what someone said and shouldn't. And these were good schools, too. You know?
That's what I'm finding, Barbara.
Yeah. You do get some loose cannons now and then. And boy, oh boy. But, you know, to give them the benefit of the doubt. I mean, I know that's not always the easiest thing to do because they should know better.
Yes.
you know, they're passing on the faith, and this is what our Pope called, what, the noble art of forming the individual. So it's critical that they do it right, for Pete's sake, huh?
I agree.
So, well, God bless you. Sorry you had this little blight on confirmation, but straighten out your kid and call your friends and tell them that those that might be confirmed with your son, and just say, you know, I took issue with this, and here's why, you know? And expose the man for what he's all about, you know, because so they don't look him up and think he's, you know, got the truth, the full truth and nothing but.
Oh, far from that.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Good. Well, God bless you, dear lady.
God bless you, too.
And have a happy Easter anyway, huh?
Absolutely.
All righty. God bless.
God bless you, Barbara.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
1-800-585-9396 and outside North America 1-205-271-2985. Let's go to Paul. He's waiting in Sunny Valley, Nevada, listening on 920 AM. You're on open line, Paul. Thanks for calling in.
Well, hello, and thank God for all the ministries of the radio, Catholic radio throughout the country.
Praise God, yes.
Amen.
What can I do for you, brother?
Well, I was listening to your last caller.
Uh-huh.
About loose cannons.
Yep.
And sometimes I'm one of them.
Oh, you are. What happened?
Well, and it happens a lot to me. A lot of it is, I think in this country, we're so pro-choice, meaning the true definition of pro-choice is we can choose to do good or evil. And we want to have our choices. You know, we want that in this country. But anyway,
right.
What happened was I went to an early Mass, daily Mass,
mm-hmm.
and the Mass was in a different place than it regularly was, and I hadn't been there for a week or so.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to go looking for it, and I was late, and you know, first I thought maybe they changed the time or whatever. But anyway, finally I was guided by a person that came in, and I was thinking he was a priest the way he acted, but he wasn't. But so anyway, he guided me into the Mass, and we arrived at the Mass approximately at the end of the homily. I would say at the end of the sermon. It was, because
mm-hmm.
I don't think what was being preached on was part of the Gospels or anything.
Mm-hmm.
And it was in a small room where probably the 30 or 40 people were there. It was full. And actually, mm-hmm. a person outside the door, and it was a door like into a regular room. You know,
mm-hmm.
that door, and it was in a room like what would have been a school room. But anyway, so that door was way at the back. So I didn't, if I would have walked in quietly or whatever, I wouldn't have disrupted the Mass or anything. So anyway, as I walked in, I heard, and sinners, it's been a long time ago, so I don't remember the exact words. And sinners like those out, you know, I heard something like that, like those. And I just said, came out of my mouth, and this happened to me twice before in church. And I said, like us.
Well, are you sure he was referring? I doubt highly he was referring to you who had to stand outside a bit, yeah?
No, that's what I'm saying. That's what I heard. And I don't know what was actually said, but I know for a fact, because of some examples that have happened in my life,
mm-hmm.
many times the devil is between us and the words, and we hear something that wasn't said.
Right. You're so right. Yep.
It happens, and but anyway, so I, you know, that was my comment. Everybody looks, turns around and looks, and I just, whoa, where did that come from? And at the time, I'll have to say that I was in a state of grievous sin. And when I'm in a state like that, things happen to me. And but anyway, so the Mass continued on. And at the handshake of peace, I wanted to reconcile with the Father, with Father. So I walked up, and it's a small room.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I've in my life I've ever done this, but I walked up to him and shook his hand. And he shook my hand, you know, just pleasantly and everything. And I, peace be with you, and I don't think he said anything. He's just kind of smiling at me. And then he slowly gripped my hand tighter, and he says in a very audible voice, "But I want you to go and sit down and be quiet." So he disrupted the course of the mass, and I just said, which, like I said, I was in a state of grievous sin. So when I'm in that state, I have to very, very watch myself, or I, pride takes over, whatever takes over. I said,
let me ask you a question, Paul. Can I ask you a question? If you were in a state of grievous sin, was this on Easter Sunday?
You know what? It was a year ago, and it was during, no, it was at a daily mass.
Oh, okay. It wasn't just this past Easter Sunday.
No, it was a year ago, but it was either the week prior to Holy Week or Holy Week. And, you know, so I'm not sure exactly when it was. I'm going to have to go back and look at the records.
But that's okay. But if it was Holy Week, there are all kinds of opportunities to get rid of that grievous sin in the sacrament, right?
Definitely, definitely. And I,
okay.
And I had just made a decision that, man, I got to get to Mass and I got to, you know, go to confession and, you know, get, this is Holy, you know, Holy Week's coming. I'm not sure if it was Holy Week. I think it was the week prior to Holy Week.
Yeah, which would be even better for confession because they usually stop when Holy Thursday comes around, yes?
Absolutely, yes. Mm-hmm. Usually, I think here that's what it is. The last ones are on Holy Thursday.
Yeah. So now are you, let me ask you another question, Paul. Are you in better shape now as far as the state of your soul?
Yes.
Awesome. Okay.
When I'm in a state of grace, you know, it doesn't bother me to talk about my sins. When I'm in mortal sin, then I do not like to, except for a priest. When I go to a priest in confession, it's just, oh, it's like at Pentecost to the apostles. My family just can definitely tell a difference in how I am.
Sure.
I just get excited. It's just, I'm living again, you know.
That's exactly right. And you know what? That's a good testimony, Paul, because when a person is in a state of grievous sin, serious sin, and they know it, they know they are in a state of serious sin, their whole demeanor changes.
Absolutely. Mine does.
Yeah, of course. Everyone's does. You know, you have like the weight of the world on your shoulders. And I see this often in some of the teenagers that I speak to, especially the young women. I can always tell that they've got a weight on them that needs to be lifted.
You know, it's almost as if they don't, kind of, they haven't been taught that just go to confession is the easiest thing.
Yeah.
In fact, they don't know how to get rid of that or something.
Well, the whole thing is sin zaps the joy and the life right out of you.
Amen.
Any sin does, but especially mortal sin.
You know,
because you've cut yourself off from God. So I'm happy for you, Paul, that this was not recently. And I'm a little confused, though, still, about why you brought it up. What was the point of the call, maybe?
Okay, so after the, well, during the, okay, so when he grabbed my hand,
mm-hmm.
I would, you know, I'd like you to go sit down and be quiet. And I was being quiet from the homily up to that point, which is all through the consecration. And, you know, and I am that way. So anyway, so I had my little comment, and I'd like you to do the same, you know, and I wasn't as loud as he was. But then he says, does anybody here have a cell phone? I want to call the cops.
On you? On you?
Pardon me?
On you?
Yes.
Oh, whoa.
So anyway, I had a cell phone in my pocket, so I took it out of my pocket, and I just laid it in my hand, and I, you know, I didn't say nothing, and I, you know, gave it to, well, he didn't take it. And he still said, does anybody have a cell phone? I want, you know, and he wouldn't take mine. So I turned around, and the congregation is right up close to the altar, you know, because it's in this little room. And there was a, I kind of held mine out, you know, just showing anybody if they want to call the police. You know, here's a phone. I have one. And so there was a guy raised his hand, and I just sort of tossed it to him. He wasn't within reach of me with the priest holding my hand.
Okay, so what happened? Did they call the police, or did you, what did you do?
Well, okay, so while we're still there, then there's some people that know me. I mean, because I go to daily mass quite a bit, but
mm-hmm.
that's a cathedral, too, which isn't my parish, so I don't usually go there. But there are some people that, you know, and this one guy came up, and he actually thought I was my brother. And he kept calling me by name, by this name that he thought I was. And I said, well, I'm not him. And I was thinking, man, I don't want to get my brother in trouble.
Right.
Not have been my worry at all. I should have just be quiet and left.
Yeah, you know what? Let me just ask you this. Had you had a drink or two before you went into church?
I don't take any medicine. I don't. I might have a beer once a year or twice a year or something.
Okay.
I do not do that.
Oh, well, that's a good thing. That's a real good thing. You know what? I know that when you're steeped in sin, it transforms your demeanor, in not in a good way. But you know what? As you're talking, I'm kind of thinking about sometimes we need to discuss things with someone who, an authority figure who we can get good counsel from, because sometimes it's kind of like we're calling attention to ourselves, but what we're really asking for is help. You want to be helped out of this situation, the condition in which you're in. You know, in my church, we sing a beautiful song, Paul, and it's talking about Jesus, about lifting him high. It says, you be lifted high, you be lifted high, and I'll fall on my knees, so it's you that they see, not I. So when we're, especially in a situation like church, you know, when we're in a situation like that, we don't want to draw any attention to ourselves. It's pride. It's a lack of humility. Not even, you know, as far as the choir goes or the musicians, they should not be drawing attention to themselves either. The whole focus is on the Lord. The whole focus. So possibly, you know, in the future, and I know, like, you still remember this, and if this was a long time ago, it made kind of an impact on you. So possibly, that's like a red flag for you. When I get into serious sin, I want to draw attention to myself. It's almost like a little kid sometimes. They will draw attention to themselves, even if it's negative, even by acting up, because at least they will get the attention that they need. So just mull that around in your head a little bit and see if, you know, so that's a good red flag for you. When you do feel like this and you want to be outward with your voice in inappropriate places, inappropriate times, it could be a cry for help. What do you think?
Well, yes. Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And when I do get into sin, the one thing I do is I withdraw, and I don't. No, I don't. It's not depression, but I withdraw. I'm single. I have no responsibility other than my soul and the people and the souls of people around me. But I there's not very many people
that you can talk to.
Well, unless I'm. You know, unless I'm not in sin, then I get out and go. But if I'm in sin, I mean, sometimes there'll be, I don't even go to mass for 2 or 3 months. I'll just stay in my house.
Okay. Well, that's not good. That's not a good situation, Paul. You have to be part of the community. And that's another red flag. Serious sin causes you to isolate. And I would think it would cause a lot of people to isolate. So you don't want that either. So we need to pray for a good spiritual director for you. That's what you could do. A good spiritual advisor. And you can really get a good one oftentimes just by going to confession once a week. And before you know it, you start to, you know, get some sort of a relationship going where you can take more advice, because the priest knows you better and can see, you know, what your strengths are and what your weaknesses are, and then he can help you out with some good spiritual advice and direction. So I would say that would be a good idea. It's a good idea for all of us, not just for you, but it's a good idea that we have someone, a good holy priest that we can confide in, that we can share what we need to get off of our minds and hearts, you know, and that's what the confessional is designed for in many ways, of course, but also maybe a little bit of spiritual direction on the side, outside of the confessional, would be good for you too. So I thank you, good man. I'm going to have to hang up from you now to get to Joe, but you're awesome. Thanks for calling, Paul, and I hope I helped a little. I'm not sure.
Bless you, and yes.
Okay. All right, good. Well, God bless you, too. Keep listening to Open Line, okay?
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye now. Okay, 1-800-585-9396, and outside North America, 1-205-271-2985. You know, I love those words. You be lifted high. I don't have a very good voice these days. I've got all kinds of nodules on my vocal cords from all the speaking and everything. But, you know, you be lifted high and I'll fall on my knees so it's you that they see, not I. It's so important to be humble. The greatest gift from the heart of Jesus. Okay. Let's go to Joe. He's driving through Indiana, listening on EWTN Sirius Satellite Radio. Joe, welcome to Open Line. Thanks for waiting. I appreciate it.
Oh, happy Easter to you.
Thank you. Right back at you.
Thanks. Listen, back in during Lent of 2002, mm-hmm. I was in the Army. I was stationed down at Fort Benning.
Okay.
And that was the Lent, you know, all the scandals started breaking, the Boston Globe.
Yeah.
All that stuff. And you know, it was overdone, but some of the cases were pretty serious. It was very kind of disturbing.
Of course. More than disturbing.
Yeah.
Much more than disturbing, yes.
Yeah, some of it was pretty bad, but, you know, the press will treat the Catholic Church a little differently than it does other institutions.
And that's true. Yep.
But I was, this year, the New York Times tried to start something.
Yes.
Right before Holy Week.
Yes, that's right.
And from what I've been following, it just didn't go anywhere. I mean, it just kind of fell apart.
Boy, I hope you're right, Joe. I hope you're right. Once the news media gets a hold of something like this, and it was a campaign, there's no question about that. It was a campaign. But the Pope, our precious Pope, deserves a strong defense, but the Catholic Church problems are still far from resolved. Okay.
Well, we have the same problems everyone else does. I mean, it's you have to be on guard.
Yes.
And you can't cover up wrongdoing. And
right.
You have to be proactive to protect everyone. You know, those are all good things, and we're working on that.
Yes.
But I'm wondering, because the stories that were broken, there are all kinds of problems. There's this case in Germany where it appears that the cleric involved was dealt with in an appropriate manner, at least according to the standards of the time.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And they've not been able to connect Cardinal Ratzinger, who's now the Pope, to this. Maybe more will come out. I don't know. But it seems to be an orchestrated campaign.
Yes. Yes, it is. It is. Even when it broke, they had people stationed around the Vatican to hand out, I don't know what they were handing out, some sort of a flyer regarding it. So it was all orchestrated ahead of time. They knew exactly what they were doing.
Yeah, and the New York Times is supposed to be a news organization, not a propaganda machine.
Well, but generally it's more of a propaganda machine. I mean, it doesn't have a very good reputation, you know? A lot of people think it's a fish wrapper.
And I think people are waking up to that, which is why their financial state is so poor right now.
Hello.
But I do have a theory as to what might be setting them off. Can I share that with you?
Sure.
Not too long ago, there's a publication that comes out annually called the Yearbook of American and Canadian Churches.
Okay.
And they give the statistics for all the religious denominations in the country, whether, you know, which have lost members, which have gained, et cetera.
Right.
And this year there were basically three denominations in the United States which showed an increase in membership. One was the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, which is the Mormons.
Yeah.
The other was the Assembly of God. And the third denomination showing growth in our country is the Roman Catholic Church.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And the rest of them, for the most part, with maybe a few exceptions, you know, they're showing decreases. And they have been for some time. I suspect that this drives the New York Times crazy.
Yeah, you could be right, Joe. Who knows? I don't know. I think it goes a little deeper than that. I think it goes much deeper than that because there's a wonderful article in the Wall Street Journal for April 2nd called The Catholic Church's Catastrophe. And okay. It's in their opinion section if you want to look it up online. But it talks about how all of these things broke, and just as you say, in 2002, 2003. And it says, some blame the scandals on Pope Benedict XVI. But Joseph Ratzinger is the man who, weeks before his accession to the papacy 5 years ago, spoke blisteringly on Good Friday of the filth in the church. Days later, on the streets of Rome, the Italian newspaper La Stampa reported Cardinal Ratzinger bumped into a Curio Monsignor who chided him for his sharp words. The Cardinal replied, "You weren't born yesterday. You understand what I'm talking about. You know what it means. We priests, we priests." The most reliable commentary on Pope Benedict's role in the scandals came from John Allen of the National Catholic Reporter. This is what this guy is saying. But it comes down to the fact that our Holy Father is speaking out. He is speaking out, and he has really taken it control of this whole situation, coming to grips with it, and he's made real progress in it. But I think what I believe that the problem is, what other church takes such a stand against active homosexuality and same-sex so-called marriage? And I think that this is, and abortion, okay? And you can go on down the list, of course, if you want. But I think that it's, and then when the Pope Benedict, he worded very bluntly a letter to the Irish Catholics right before all this broke, where, he wrote that the bishops failed at times grievously to apply the long-established norms of canon law to the crime of child abuse. This is what our Holy Father said. He said too many bishops weren't Catholic enough. They failed, for example, to follow the clear direction of the 1983 Code of Canon Law that a cleric who commits sexual sin with a minor is to be punished with just penalties, not excluding dismissal from the clerical state if the case so warrants. So this is another great article that I would like you to read as well. It's called Culture Change in the Church by Father Raymond J. D'Souza. And he is basically saying that there has been much advice given to the Catholic Church in regard to the sexual abuse scandals. There are, though, only two real options. The church can become more Catholic or less Catholic. And it's an excellent, excellent article. I'd like to share more with you, but I'm going to have to move on, Joe, but I appreciate you, and I know that I do agree with you that it was definitely a campaign. I think it might go a little deeper than the fact that we're getting a lot of converts. I would like to think it was just that, trust me, but I think it goes a little deeper than that. God bless you, good man, though. Thanks for calling Open Line. We're going to take a quick break. You are listening to EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Barbara McGuigan here. This is Open Line Tuesday. Don't go away.
This is Bishop William Lurie, Bishop of Bridgeport and Supreme Chaplain of the Knights of Columbus. During these days of unprecedented challenge for our Church and our Holy Father, it is vitally important for all Catholics to be united in prayer. The Knights of Columbus invite you to join in a special novena for Pope Benedict XVI, beginning on Divine Mercy Sunday, April 11, through Monday, April 19, the fifth anniversary of Pope Benedict's election. Over the centuries, the Church has always overcome the challenges it faces, stronger, wiser, and more holy. I have no doubt that the same will hold true now, especially with the prayers and support of faithful Catholics throughout the world. To learn more and download a copy of the novena, please visit kfc.org. May God bless you and keep you in His love.
Tomorrow on EWTN Radio's Open Line, Father Mitch Pacwa takes your calls about the Bible, the Church, and the writings of the Pope. 3 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Hi, I'm Brian Patrick. Be sure to join us in the morning for the Sunrise Morning Show on EWTN, the Global Catholic Network. Mike Aquilina of FathersOfTheChurch.com will talk about St. Clement, one of the earliest popes in the Church. We'll talk with Anthony Buono of AveMariaSingles.com and Stephanie Mann, who wrote Supremacy and Survival, How Catholics Endured the English Reformation. We'll talk about the English martyr Henry Walpole on his feast day.
The Sunrise Morning Show.
This is Open Line on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Here again is Barbara McWiggin.
Welcome back to Open Line. Let me give you the numbers, 1-800-585-9396, and outside North America, 1-205-271-2985. Roberto is waiting patiently in San Mateo, California, listening on 1260 AM. You're on Open Line, Roberto. Hello? Hello, Roberto.
Hello?
Hello there, yes. Are you there?
Yes, I just have a quick question.
Yes.
What happens to the children that, what's the status for them after the parents get an annulment?
An annulment?
From the church?
Yeah.
Are they still legit?
Of course. An annulment does not make the children of the union illegitimate, provided that the husband and wife were married when they had the children, of course. But an annulment does not make the children illegitimate. Are you in the midst of that, Roberto?
I'm not sure yet. Depends. I'm praying about... what to do.
You're praying. Well, that's a good thing, good man. That's the first thing we have to do is pray. But you see, you have to be divorced before you get an annulment.
Yes.
Are you divorced?
Yes, I am. Not because I want to. It's just that my partner wants to. But, you know, I think the young man, and I think if I want to give myself a Catholic and have communion and all that, then
yes.
I have to definitely have a Catholic wife, and in order for me to have a Catholic wife, I may have to get an annulment.
Exactly, because you were married in the Catholic Church, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well, have you sought some direction on this? Do you know if you have grounds for an annulment?
I think they may be, but I have to talk to my parish priest and see.
Yes.
Yeah.
That would be a good idea, Roberto, to see if you have grounds for annulment, and then I'm sure he would himself or possibly point out a person who will be able to help you in filling out all the annulment papers. And you can grow a lot from this, Roberto. You really can. And I admire you for wanting to do the right thing so that you're not just saying to go forth and meet someone else and get married again without an annulment, because then that affects your soul.
Thank you, Barbara. Have a good day. Bye-bye now.
Oh, God bless you. Bye-bye, you too. Okay, let's go to Mike, and he's calling from Waterloo, Louisiana, listening again on EWTN Sirius Satellite Radio. You're on Open Line, Mike.
Hey, how you doing today?
Great, thanks. What can I do for you?
Well, what I want to do is just report what I read in a news article, must have been 10 days ago, 2 weeks ago. It was from Pravda, and I'm sure you've heard of Pravda. It used to be the mouthpiece of the Soviet Union.
Pravda, oh sure, yes.
Well, they had an article that kind of came out about 2 weeks ago, and they talked about the abuse scandal in the Catholic Church and in America. And one of the things they were talking about is they disagree with the Catholic Church in many respects, but they still support what it's trying to do, and they consider the whole thing that is being done in the United States trying to undermine the moral authority of the Catholic Church. The thing that really impressed me was the fact that they did research into abuse scandals in the United States,
mm-hmm.
and they came up with a number. The number is the abuse that takes place in the United States. If the news media was really interested in abuse, they'd be going after the public schools. He said because of the 157 to 1
yep.
abuse happening in the public schools compared to priests. And this was taken from information from the year 1952 through 2005.
You know what? You are absolutely spot on, Mike. And people get aggravated when people like you and I try to put the problem in perspective, because people think, you know, you shouldn't be trying to say, oh, well, they do this and they did this more than we did and all that. That's not the point. That's not the point, what we're trying to do. We're trying to clarify the issue. And actually, an Archbishop, Silvano Tomasi, he's the Holy See's permanent observer to the United Nations in Switzerland, in Geneva. He gave on September 22nd, 2009, so not even a year ago, right? He gave a talk to the president there of the United Nations Human Rights Council. Are you familiar with this, Mike?
Yes, I am.
Okay, good. Is this what you're quoting from then?
No, I quoted this from...
From Pravda, right, from Pravda.
Which really shocked me, because Pravda is known in Russia. The translation is truth. And it was always truth coming from the Soviets, you figured was a lie, but now it's the newspaper of Russia under the Orthodox in a way.
Well, you know what? I'm glad you brought that up, because I was going to be bringing that up, because Father Raymond D'Souza, in the article I just mentioned from CatholicEducation.org, great article, great priest, it's called Culture Change in the Church, and his second to last paragraph, he says, on Tuesday, so I would say this was written on, April 5th, so last Tuesday, the American bishops released their annual national audit of all charges in the last year. This is on sexual abuse charges in the United States. It reports that there were 398 new allegations in the entire United States last year. Six of them were from current minors. Six of them. The rest were older incidents only now being reported. Over 70% of alleged offenders are already deceased, okay? And the ones that, you know, the 70% that reported, they're already dead, the perpetrators. They are suspended from ministry or dismissed from the priesthood. 70% of alleged offenders are already deceased, suspended from ministry, or dismissed from the priesthood. In a church of some 60 million Catholics, aggressive action has seen the problem reduced to six cases. Now, even one case is filthy disgusting. But it goes to show you, that with our Holy Father, Rome has really starting to clamp down on this, which is why this whole New York Times thing was a very orchestrated campaign.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So I really appreciate that you called in about this, and I'm going to be quoting a little bit more from this Father D'Souza article here, because it really, it hits the nail on the head. As I said earlier, you know, I mean, our Holy Father must be defended, and he is. I mean, they can prove by dates and times and everything else, but the Catholic Church problems are still far from completely resolved. So, you know, no one's trying to say, oh, because the Protestants are doing more with this and the public schools are doing more. No, it's all filthy. It's disgusting. But anyway, that's what we're trying to do. I thank you, Mike, for calling in. Thank you so much. And God bless you, too. And really, I'm grateful that you called in, because I wanted to discuss this a bit, too. God bless you. Okay, we're going to go to our second hour pretty soon. My goodness, it goes by fast for me. And we haven't even had an earthquake out here in California. We've been rocking and rolling since Easter Sunday. I'm not even close to the epicenter of that earthquake, but trust me, this whole house went nuts for about 43 seconds, which is a long earthquake when you've been in earthquakes. Normally, we try to ride them out, but this time we were up and holding on and trying to get out the door, and we were not even close. So, it was not good. All right, you're listening to EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. We're going to go to our second hour. This is Open Line Tuesday. I'm Barbara McWiggin. Stay with me. God bless you. We'll be right back.
EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Next time on EWTN Live, our Lord came that we might have life and have it to the fullest, whereas the world proclaims a different message at the cost of millions of innocent lives. Join Father Mitch when he talks with Father Frank Pavone about defending life. That's on the next EWTN Live.
Hi, this is Dr. Colleen Kelly Mass. Thanks for listening to the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Only on Ave Maria Radio, Cresta in the Afternoon.
Essentially denied the Pope a voice.
Catholic Connection.
Pray for the secular media.
And the doctor is in.
I am here meeting needs all over the place.
All on 990 WDEO.
Hi, this is Father John Ricardo, inviting you to join me as we explore some of the deepest questions that arise in our hearts, questions that shape the way we think, the way we speak, and the way we live. For all of these questions, Christ is the answer.
We've entered a new calendar year. Father Ricardo has prepared a proposal for 2010. It's a call to each of us to be intentional Catholics, and before anything else, to be disciples of Jesus, to manifest Jesus to others, and to bring the Lord into every situation we are in. On our program this week is Father Ricardo's proposal for 2010. Listen to Christ is the Answer Wednesday evenings at 8, Saturday afternoons at 5, and Sunday mornings at 11 on 990 WDEO, 1440 WMAX, and AveMariaRadio.net on the Internet.
Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the image of the invisible God. He points us to our destiny. He reveals the dignity of the human person. He is the one who makes known the Father. Christ is the Answer.
Good day, I'm Al Cresta. As a Catholic business owner, Catholic people like to do business with Catholic businesses. And the online CatholicBusinessPages.com lets Catholic consumers know you're out there. When you display your business on CatholicBusinessPages.com, you'll get an entire year of advertising at less than a dollar a day. That's 12 full months of online advertising, effective, affordable, and targeted to your market. Go to AveMariaRadio.net and click on the Catholic Business Pages link and enter promo code AMR. And save. Good day, I'm Al Cresta. When Jesus stood before Pilate, he said, "I came into the world to bear witness to the truth, and all who are on the side of truth listen to my voice." At Ave Maria Radio, we take his testimony seriously and believe that necessity is laid upon us. Woe unto us if we do not proclaim the gospel day in and day out. In every broadcast, we bear witness to the salvational truth of Christ and his church, hoping that by the grace of God and by means of the Holy Spirit, we might reach all who are on the other side of this microphone. As a listener, you take part in this proclamation as well by supporting us with your prayers and pledges. I'm constantly aware that Catholic Radio's mission of truth can be stifled or even silenced without your support. And that's why I'm asking you to join with us again during our spring membership drive, April 19th through 23rd. I'm asking you to tune in and pledge, give generously, and give prayerfully from your heart. I'll look forward to talking to you.
Capernaum, Calvary, the Mount of Beatitudes, the Mount of Transfiguration, Bethlehem, and Nazareth. Hi, this is Teresa Tomeo, host of Catholic Connection, and those are just a few of the beautiful holy sites and holy cities you'll visit when you join me and author, speaker, and certified guide, Steve.